by leaps and bounds the name of our segment. Today's special guest, Kids Count Data and Disparities, the topic. Alicia Guevara Warren, Kids Count Project Director in the House, on behalf of the organization, Michigan League for Public Policy. Mouthful. Good morning to you, Alicia. Thanks to you, and certainly to the work that you all do. The Kid Count Report, Kids Count Report, does provide data that illustrates the barriers that Michigan kids face, can be used as a tool to help make informed policy decisions to improve outcomes. So here we are to talk about your great project. Alicia, talk a little bit about you and your organization.
Yeah, so I am the Kids Count Project Director, as you mentioned, of the Michigan League for Public Policy. We are a nonpartisan research and advocacy organization really focused in on how can we use data, information, and research to make the best decisions to improve outcomes for kids and families in our state. So we're really focused in on economic security is one of the things, but we know that economic security impacts everything. So from health and education, a community, family life, all of that is really interconnected. So you see us working on a number of things related to whether it's poverty issues, higher education, workforce development, corrections, immigration. We're really trying to take a comprehensive approach. So we're fairly unique in that way in trying to change public policy. Now, the Kids Count Project, which is housed at the League, is a part of a national network of organizations across the country. So there's also a national Kids Count Project that's housed out of the Annie E. Casey Foundation in Baltimore. And then there's a project like mine in every state in the country, plus D.C., Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, really focused in on how do we use data and information to make the best decisions for kids and families, and really how do we localize that information as well. So that's one of the big things that Kids Count in Michigan does, is we not only make the information available at the state level, but we try to ensure that our local communities also have the information that they need, because every community is a little bit different.
Let me ask a question, somewhat of a play on words. What are you counting when it comes to kids count?
Yeah, so we want to understand, you know, how are our kids doing? So when we're counting them, we're trying to understand how many kids might be living in poverty, how many kids are, you know, doing well in school, how many kids are, you know, living in households where families are not facing, you know, high housing cost burden. So we're looking at a number of different issues across what we call domains, not to get too jargony, but we're looking at economic security, health and safety, families, communities, and education, and then all these different types of measures within those areas to look, you know, holistically at kids, because we know that, you know, everything is interconnected for kids.
You touched on this. If you would expand why the work you are doing is important to our communities.
Yeah, so our work is really, you know, driven by, you know, the data and research, but also what people do with that data and information. So we work locally with different coalitions and collaboratives to work in partnership to use the information to decide locally what types of programs and services do we need to be doing, what populations do we need to target, what areas are important to really improve overall child well-being. But then, you know, from a statewide perspective, how do we use all that information to talk with legislators? How can we engage in advocacy by sharing this information with state lawmakers, federal lawmakers, to really help them understand what are the biggest challenges and barriers that our kids and families are facing, and how do we make bigger change through public policy and through systems change to ensure that all kids are able to reach their full potential?
How are communities then currently using this research, this important data that your organization provides?
So we work very closely with a number of organizations in local areas. One of the networks that we are pretty well connected with here in Kent County is with the Great Start Collaborative and First Steps Kent. So some of the things that you see them doing is using this data and information to, you know, do a needs assessment. We work with a lot of community health departments as well. So they use the data to kind of figure out what, where are the needs, what do we need to be doing? And then they use that information to develop their strategic strategic plans, to really drive those decisions, but then also, you know, to monitor the progress and change, because we know that sometimes, you know, we might put a program into place and it does really, really fantastic. So how do we take that to scale? But sometimes we might put something into place and we're like, we're not seeing exactly what it is we're trying to accomplish. So how can we use the data and information ongoing to kind of, you know, tweak what we're doing to get the better outcomes?
Talking by leaps and bounds, a segment where we put the spotlight on education, kids, the Kids Count data and disparities, our topic, thanks to Alicia Guevara Warren, Kids Count Project Director. The gaps, what still needs to be done? How do we help?
So as you mentioned earlier, our 2019 Kids Count data book just came out a few weeks ago. So it really revealed a number of things. What we did in this report is we looked back at 2012 and compared those numbers to how we're doing now. And 2012 is kind of important because as we're emerging from the Great Recession, 2012 was the period where we saw the highest peak more recently in child poverty rates. So we really wanted to understand from that, you know, from our worst point, have we made some progress and what does that look like? And a couple of things that we found statewide, we are seeing some improvements in economic security for families. We saw a reduction in the number of kids who are living in poverty, but we still have 1 in 5 kids living in poverty here in the state of Michigan. And if we look at those numbers by race and ethnicity, we see that our kids of color are more likely to be living in poverty because we know families of color have faced over a period of time, you know, significant barriers to economic security. We also see that our youngest children are at highest risk for living in poverty. So understanding how important it is to address poverty, particularly in early childhood, because we know how much development happens during those early years and how much poverty can actually impact brain development. So looking at that is important. But we also saw a couple of other things that are a little disturbing to us, particularly in our number of kids who were confirmed as victims of abuse and neglect. So over this time period from 2012 to 2017, we saw a 30% increase in the rate of kids who are confirmed as victims of abuse and neglect. Again, our youngest kids are at highest risk for being victims, and so that's something for us to pay attention to. But there are some good things happening too, so we want to keep that in mind that we're, you know, we are making progress in some areas, particularly in the areas focusing in on our youth. So we are seeing continued significant progress in the reduction of teen births, which is really important for long-term, you know, outcomes for young people, but also for their future children. We're also seeing more kids graduating from high school, fewer kids dropping out. So still have some work to do there, particularly as we think about more kids who are graduating. Do they have access to that next step that's going to provide them, you know, access to the jobs that are going to provide that family supporting wage? So there are some good things. And there are some things that we definitely need to keep working on.
And how can the community help?
We would love for communities to use this information to drive their decision-making locally. Go have that conversation. Go to coffee hours. You know, I, you know, came from the legislature and always heard about our lawmakers who are sitting at coffee hours, you know, alone sometimes. So really want to encourage people to take this information and use it for their own programs, and, but also to engage in the public policy process as well.
Kids Count Project Director, every day is a good day, and thank you for crossing things off your list to make our kids really count. Another play on words. Alicia, how do we find out more information, please?
Yes, so if folks are interested in reading the 2019 Kids Count Report, they can visit the League's website at mlpp.org. And one tool that I just want to mention, if folks are really interested in digging into the data, is the Kids Count Data Center. So if folks go to datacenter.kidscount.org, they can find a lot more information and data available by their county and city level.
Thank you for your specialization and your comments when it comes to this topic. Take care to you, Alicia.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.